Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Come on in. Grab a seat. As you can see, we're doing this sort of cafe church format while we're doing this series so that you can talk together during the service and have discussions. Don't forget you can grab tea and coffee, and it's gone a bit continental today.
Woo!
So we've got a bit continental out there, so feel free to just wander around during the service and grab what you need. That's okay. Okay, we're going to start, and we're going to start with some worship. Let's welcome the Lord this morning. I think we need to say good morning to the Lord and welcome him. So do you want to stand with me? And let's do that together. Morning. You all right?
Thank you that you are everywhere that we go, and you are here in the midst of us, in our hearts, in this building, in this place. And we just thank you, Lord, that we can come together and know that you are our one desire, and you alone are holy. You are our God, and we thank you. Amen.
I'm going to sit down for a moment. Now, pop quiz. No prizes, because this is really easy. Christian calendar, what's today?
Pentecost.
It is. It's Pentecost. And I don't know what that means to you personally, but it is the moment when the church was born, in a sense, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and they were empowered to do everything that the church is empowered to do. And by church, I mean you and me. And I found a little video that just expresses to me the wonder of what has happened since Pentecost, of what God has done, what God has put into you and me. So a little video, here we go, have a look at this. Means. Pentecost means that Christ lives in you. In the Old Testament, he lived in a temple, he really was too big for that. But they said he lived in a temple. If you want to meet God, you had to go to the temple, you had to go in the Holy of Holies, and you could only do it once a year, and you could only get close to him in that way. And occasionally would fall on some prophet or some king or some judge who was to help the nation at a time of need. But since Pentecost, he is in every single one of you. The same spirit that fell on Isaiah and on Jeremiah and on David is in you. Elijah is in you. And that is an amazing thought. That is what Pentecost is all about, that God has come and he lives not just with us, but in us through his Holy Spirit. Let's pray, shall we? And let's just acknowledge this day. And let's acknowledge what God wants to do. Glorious God, we're amazed at the incredible love that has embraced us and embraces all of the brokenness and alienation of this world around us. We love you and we trust you. Will you take our lives and shape them as you will? Will you open our eyes to the daily reality of your Holy Spirit living within us? And we're aware that our power, our own human power, cannot bring about the transformation or the change or the fruit that you intend to bring into our lives, our neighborhoods, our friends, our places of work. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to empower us again this Pentecost. Take away our fear of what it means to submit our lives to you. Take away our small expectations of what you can do through us and open our eyes to needs and opportunities we've never seen before. Give us boldness in place of timidity. Exalt the name of Jesus Christ in us and through us. And by your mighty sovereign hand, move people towards Christ, because it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. We got a few notices for you this morning, just to let you know what's going on around and about GBC. Don't forget, if you're just tuning into what we're doing at the moment, we're in a series of five where we're talking about how God can reach the people that we care about, the UK. So you can pick up on those. Today we're going to be in a share a lunch. So if you fancy gathering for lunch afterwards, we're going to be meeting at Adrienne's. Where's Adrienne? There's Adrienne. So Dunville Drive, number 12 Dunville Drive, which is just around the corner. If you need to know where that is, ask Adrienne. It's walking distance from here. or Anthony. Show of hands, who's intending to go? I'm going, there's a few people going. Cool, okay, but you're free to come. If you didn't bring anything, there is...
I have soup and rolls.
Oh, do you? There is soup and rolls, so you're covered, or you can nip next door to the shop and buy something and bring it along. So just come along and share lunchtime together, that'd be really good. Tonight we've got Big House of the Man, 6 o'clock tonight. That's school years 5 to 8, so come along to that. We've got a movie coming up, 21st of June, United Kingdom. Hope you can make that one. That's a really good movie. 21st, that'll be the last one of our summer, because we're not having one in July or August. Though we might. I'm toying with the idea of a sing-along session or something, but we'll see. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Yeah, avoid that one. 30th of June, we at our church meeting, you may remember, there's a notice in your bulletins, please read it, about our church meeting on the 30th of June. It explains that church meetings are changing. They're changing the day we meet. We are meeting on the 30th of June, the Sunday. It's all in your bulletin, have a look. And we are changing how and why we meet. We're not going to be having lots of business stuff, there will be a bit of that. But mostly it'll be about you talking and discussing and feeding back what you think about certain things. It's mostly going to be about that one topic, not dozens of them, just one topic. And we're going to do that four times a year. So that is our new church meeting format. We hope you can come along to that. We would encourage everybody to come along. It will be different. That's where we're at in terms of Sundays, so just so you know. And if you didn't know, a bunch of guys are going to the gathering in about 2 weeks' time. So in 2 weeks' time, we're going to the gathering. I have your wristbands, gentlemen. If you haven't got them already or ordered them or got them off Rod, I think there's a few of you that need to get them off me. I have your wristbands. We have one free wristband. Well, I say free. If you take it, we'll ask you for some money. But at the moment, the person who was going can't go. So we're going to give it away one way or another, even if you just give us a donation towards it. So a free weekend, if you fancy, or if you can pay a little bit towards it, that would be great. But we have a free wristband. If you want to talk about that or let us know that you want to go or you want to know more, talk to me. That'd be really good. Don't forget, Life Group resource linked to what we're doing at the moment, which is called Life on the Front Line. I was with our Life Group, one of our life groups on Wednesday who were doing this, and they had a really good time. They really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It was great. Just talking about our front lines and where they are. Fantastic. Okay, so that is that lot. Malcolm has been distributing the Good News newspaper. There are some left. They're out there. Feel free to take one and give it away to somebody. Take them away. Don't leave them just a bit thrown away because they get out of date. Give them away to somebody that you know, a friend or a neighbour. Malcolm also has a mention of something in the news, I think.
Thank you, Bella. I don't know if you know about a lady called Ada Beery, B-I-B-I. Does that name ring a bell with anyone?
Yes.
Good, yes. She was a Pakistani lady who for 10 years was in jail under sentence of death for blasphemy. A few months ago, she was acquitted by the Supreme Court. But that didn't satisfy the mobs, who still were after her blood. However, praise the Lord, she has now been released totally and is now in Canada, quietly, secretly, but away from the danger. So she and her family, we can praise God that he's released her and let her go.
That's brilliant. Real answer to prayer, wasn't it? Brilliant. So well done for all you guys who have been praying for and knew about that situation. And there are organisations like Christian Solidarity Worldwide, who support and encourage you to pray for people who have suffered really for their faith in countries that are not as free as ours. So do look that up. Christian Solidarity Worldwide are great. Or Open Doors, I think, is the other one, isn't it? Yeah.
And Release.
Release, Open Doors, Christian Solidarity, they all do the same thing. And who? And Barnabas. There's tons of them. There you go. They ought to just merge, shouldn't they, really, and just do one job. But there you go. They're all doing the same thing. So, yeah, that's good. Okay. Great. We're going to take up our offering right now. No, we're not. Hang on. Oh, yes. Sorry. Go on, then. You go first.
Do you recognize this? You should do. Well, you should recognize the sort of format, and I'm holding it. Guess what it's about?
The fate.
The fate.
Ah, the fate.
Okay, so I'm going to on this table here, I'm going to pop off quite quickly after church just to get things ready in the house. But if I could have some signatures on here in the next few weeks, and there's another one underneath which says other vital jobs, which are vital. So there are some people who I could put down because they are stalwarts, and I'm pretty sure they're going to be back again to help, but I'm not going to count my chickens until they're written on this piece of paper.
Cool.
So please, could I have some signatures?
Yeah. So make Adrienne's life a bit easier. Let her know, because she needs to know who's available and who isn't and what to do. So do let her know as soon as you can. That'd be really helpful. Always a good day. Fantastic day we have down there. And Ivan, Israel.
Hi, folks. You might have seen in the bulletin some few weeks ago that I want to take a small group of people to Israel next March. So if you or anybody you know who's interested, you might want to come for an 8-day trip to Israel. Then I'll be showing you around, plus a couple of people we meet there. Then please let me know. Thank you.
Fantastic. Okay, so there's your... There's your spring holiday sorted out right there. There you go. Don't say we don't help you. Okay, excellent. My phone is just... Siri has just woken up. Thank you, Siri. Would you go away? There we go. Okay. Cool. Okay, we're going to take up our... I don't know why that happened. We're going to take up our offering right now, and young people are heading off to their groups. Rosie's ready to go. Look at that. Fantastic. What was that? Android, oh yeah. I like a bit of Apple. There you go. Okay, off you go. Let's take up an offering as we do that. Feel free to say hello to somebody on your table or around the place. Move around if you want. Tin coffee's out there. Grab one. Oh, yes. Oh, I haven't. I'll ask again. Must be here somewhere. Where were you stood? Okay, I'll ask any second now. While the offering's going on, has anybody seen a blue handbag with flowers? Adrienne's lost it. Not Adrienne, Debbie's lost it. Oh, we found it. Okay, thank you. Thank you, mate. That's great. Cheers. That's good, well done. We found the handbag. Okay, let's pray together, and then we're going to carry on thinking about God's greatest resource for reaching your friends, your neighbours, the UK. Let's pray first. Father, thank you for the resources that we have. Thank you we're able to release them to you. Thank you that giving, it helps us. It helps us in this culture and in this world where taking and having and owning are more important than giving. And we thank you that you remind us every day and every month to give, to remind us that everything is yours, not ours, that we are stewards, not owners, that you are the Lord to whom all things belong. So we pray you'll take what we give. Thank you for the way your church has given recently, the way we can replace the roof and do all of these things. Thank you for the way that you've provided for us. And we pray you'll take and use what we give to serve other people and to make this a light and a witness for you. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Okay, we're going to have a time of worship. It is Pentecost. It is Pentecost. And we do need to change probably our aspirations, don't we, about what God can do through and with us now that his Holy Spirit is living in us. So let's pray about that and sing about that. Make these songs your prayer to God. Ask him to use you, to work in you, and to build his kingdom through you, because his Holy Spirit is now available to us all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you for giving us your Son, Lord, and leaving your Spirit on this earth for us, Lord. We couldn't do without you and the power that that gives us. We can't work and use our own strength because we just get too tired and too weak. Lord, we need you. We need you, Lord. Come, fill our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Set our hearts ablaze with hope for you. Come, set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Your kingdom here, Lord. May we wake up, may we walk out in your strength, may we pray you into every situation that we encounter, Lord, because it is your Holy Spirit that through us will speak to other people. And Lord, we just long to reach out to people and to tell them about you, the name of Jesus, because that's the only name that can save them and give them eternal life and eternal hope. And Lord, your people out there need you, and you need us to go and tell them. And I pray that you would just wake that up in us. Fill us, Lord, today with your Spirit. May we pray each day for your Spirit to come into us, to walk with us wherever we go, Lord, and to give us the words to speak out. Because when we think about it ourselves, we are fearful and sometimes we just don't know what to say, but Lord, you know what to say, and you will help us in those situations if we ask. So thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you mean to us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Now, a little quick recap on what we've been doing. And up on the screen, you can see this is what we're doing. It's by LICC, London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, which was John Stott's mob, who are still going strong. And they're trying to encourage churches to think about how we have reached out, how that's not very effective, and how really it's quite simple the most effective way is. So we're talking about that today. Week two, let's have a little recap. Week two, we talked about the world or the UK in a state, post-modern Britain. And you've seen the news this week. It's still in a state, isn't it? I don't know how many current Conservative leader potentials there are, but it seems as though there's a busload. Everybody is as confused as everybody else, and it's great fun. But we saw that as an opportunity, not a threat, because so often Christians think, oh, the world out there is going to hell in a handbasket, but we shall batten down the hatches and ride out the storm. No, that's not the Christian response. In fact, we notice that the nation is searching and all the things that the gospel has to offer, identity, purpose, self-esteem, all of these things are found in Christ, and our world is lacking them like it's never lacked them before. And the gospel has an answer to people's questions. So the nation is searching. It's a real opportunity. Jesus can offer that to people. So we asked a question, and the question was this: if the way of Jesus is so superior, why haven't we succeeded in communicating it very well? What's going on? If the gospel answers all of these questions that people have in our world and are seeking through entertainment or materialism or, you know, all of these things, why haven't we done a better job? And we came up with a couple of answers for that. One of those is about authenticity. We need to be more human in the church. The church needs to be a place where people can come and be real, including their mess, including all the stuff in our lives. We need to be more human in the church, and we need to be more church in the world. We need to be out there being the church of Jesus Christ. Because church isn't just when we meet here. Church is you and me. So we're talking about those two things, authenticity and relevance. And we talked about a sacred-secular divide, that we assume God is only interested in the bits we do here. That we assume that God is only interested in our leisure time and our evenings, but he's not interested in the other 110 hours we might spend somewhere else. And we really need to move from the 10 hours spent here. Some of you spend 10 hours here, some less, some more. To the 110 hours we're spending somewhere else, usually in our neighbourhoods or at work and things like that. And we need to shift that. But we have this secular divide, and it keeps creeping in. We need to work on that. We looked at Jesus' more balanced picture of salt and light. You remember that? And we talked about when we're gathered together to be light, to be authentic, to be attractive, that to be light. So we gather together and we're light. And when we're scattered, we're salt. We're scattered out there and we're reaching out and making a difference. That's what salt does. It makes a difference. It impacts whatever it touches. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to do this. We are called to do this. You're doing it this morning. You're gathering together in one place. But the reality is, if we're ever going to reach the UK, we need to do more of this. You're already doing that. We're just not recognising our role when we're doing that. We're not recognising all the lives that we touch all of the week, and recognising that God can move powerfully through us and with us. We are all full-time Christian workers wherever we find ourselves. That's the challenge. Yeah, so that's what we're talking about. That is what we're talking about. So I thought I'd show you a little video, and this is a little reflection on some of the things we talked about last week. Just to remind you of that, this is Mark Green, who is the director of LICC, and he's talking about the sacred-secular divide that we get stuck into.
The sacred secular divide is the pervasive belief that some things are really important to God and that other things aren't. So on the sacred side of the divide, there's church, prayer meetings, social action, world missions, singing carols outside Tesco's, and so on. We believe these things are important to God, and they are. But other human activities are at best neutral. Work, school, college, sport, the arts, music, unless it's got Christian words with it, leisure, sleep, rest. These sorts of things belong firmly on the secular side of life. So, on the one hand, we teach our kids what to think about Harry Potter, because it's set in a school of witches and wizards. But, on the other hand, we hardly ever help them to think biblically about what they read and study day by day at school. Of course, if you ask any Christian, do you think all of your life matters to God? They're going to say, yep. But I wonder, do we really? And if we do, why is it that stories like this one abound?
I teach Sunday school once a week for 45 minutes, and my church asks me to come up the front so they can pray for me. For the rest of the week, I'm a full-time teacher, and yet, as far as I can remember, no one has ever offered to pray for the work that I do in schools. It's as if they want to support half my profession and not the other half. It's difficult because no one would say that teaching Sunday school is more important than the work I do for the rest of the week, but that's the unspoken message that I get. And if you look at it this way, I've got 45 minutes once a week with children who are generally open to the gospel, with parents who are supportive of the faith, or 45 hours a week with kids who have very little knowledge of Christianity and parents who are either as ignorant or hostile to the faith.
Which context needs more prayer? Both. And that was a teacher. When was the last time we prayed for the cleaner? Look at your church's prayer diary. What's in there about people's ordinary Monday to Saturday, day-to-day lives? Look at your church's prayer diary. For where your prayer is, there your heart is. Think about your own praying. What do you pray about? And what do you ask other people to pray about? In reality, the sacred-secular divide has had a devastating impact on two key areas of Christian life, our mission and our living.
And go together. Let me read something to you, and then Debbie's just going to come and get you thinking. This is Jesus talking about the difference that disciples make when they realize who they are and what they're supposed to be, where they are. This is Matthew 13, 31 through to 33. Here's another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Jesus also used another illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. The yeast a woman used in making bread. And even though she put only a little in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. An illustration of those dots. An illustration of the difference that we make when we recognize that we are the church wherever we are. And our mission as full-time Christian workers and not some sacred secular divide. Debbie's going to come. And she wants to ask you a question, so here we go.
Morning. In your groups, I'd like you to just ask this question to each other. What does the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast tell you about the nature of mission? And think about how mission works and what mission does. So I often was thinking about this today, and I was thinking so often, without knowing it, we plant so many seeds, don't we, around, about, every day. But we don't think about those seeds that we plant, and then actually what might come of that seed that we've just dropped and planted somewhere. So have a think about that question. Think about how maybe your everyday work and the things you do and say can have an impact on the people around you, the space around you, the area around you, the workplace, everything really. So I'll let you get together in your groups and have a think about.
Cool, so off you go. You've got 5 minutes. Have a chat. That's your question. What does it tell you, that illustration that Jesus used? Oh, give him 5 minutes and then have a wonder. Do you want this?
How'd you turn it on?
It should already be on. It just turns you on and off from the desk. Yeah.
Are we turning it on? So, you can sit here. Alison's very good at things like this.
Well, we haven't read it, have we?
Hmm?
He didn't read it out.
He did.
Did he?
Yes. You were thinking about the other things you got to do this week. He did read it. Yeah. Yeah. He read the... Yeah.
Sometimes I think we can't do very much, or we're not very much, but actually, I said the smallest of the seeds, and God can do a lot with them.
Just think about that little music group. I mean, mums sort of come in and they say, oh, haven't we got to pay? No, we haven't got to pay, it's all part of, we want to provide something. Even that is just, isn't it? It's a little seed on its own. It's like, oh, this church. Oh, that's a nice thing they're doing for people. And then when you're in that group and you listen to people and you take on board what they're saying as well, I think, you know...
This is going to be your enthusiasm. You're enthusiastic when you open this up and say, stop putting the seed in the ground, you don't walk through it all the time. It's been enthusiastic.
Things that you're passionate about as well. So for everyone, it's going to be something different. Or different things at different times in your life. So at the moment, I'm in contact with lots of parents in schools.
Yeah.
So I'm getting to know you.
Thank you.
Have we all discussed how we feel we're planting seeds, or we're like that yeast in the bread that without the yeast the bread is not able to rise and to be that lovely fluffy loaf? Have some people got some ideas that they might like to share with us? Anybody here like to start us off?
He's very shy, but he's got something to say.
Could you give us some of your ideas?
Come on, what's happened to you last week? Come on.
I won an award for helping homeless people.
So we've just had somebody here that's won an award for homeless people. Can you tell us a little bit more about what...
My lovely wife, Kelly. Rob was nominated for a Best Neighbour Award because of his help with some local people that were homeless over several months last year.
He wasn't going to say anything. I said I wasn't.
I think that deserves a clap for you. Yeah. But that just shows, doesn't it, that, you know, we don't necessarily have to be preaching the gospel all the time. We're just there and people see our kindness. And then sometimes they want to know a little bit more about us and find out what we do, and we do at weekends, and the conversations just grow, don't they? So, thank you.
I'll do something. I'm saying this on behalf of Hannah. We were just saying that from the mustard seed point of view, a lot's happened in Hannah's life, and from a confidence side of things, I believe that she has really grown. And at work the other day, her boss said, was asking her to work on Sunday. He said, "Well, I know you do this kind of happy clappy," and he kind of went like this. She kind of wasn't sure how to respond to that. She says, "Yes, well, I go to church and we do singing, that sort of thing, but it's important I go in the morning and not work." And then they moved on to something else, but he knows where she stands, and he respected that. So it's just something small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Nominating Liz. Liz, what would you like to say?
My parents were missionaries in China some time ago. They were there about 16 years, and they saw about two people becoming Christians. They were very upset about themselves. They thought they should have done much better, and they were always wringing their hands and saying we should have done more. But a little while ago, we had a preacher who came to speak to our church, and he'd just come from China. He'd been there working there himself. And I told him my parents were missionaries. "Oh, where were they?" he said. "Oh," I said, "it was just a little place called Ningpo." "Oh," he said, "Ningpo's not a bit little place. There are 27,000 Christians there." That's an increase.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. The power of the Lord. There we are. That's amazing. Wonderful news. Anybody else? Anybody?
Derek over here, of course, we know is a great baker and cook and all the rest. And Derek and Lala were just saying how the yeast, I mean, 60 pounds of flour is a lot of flour, you know. To put yeast in it. He said, "You know, it'll work itself through it all, but of course it needs to be kneaded." Seed, you know, Roger was just talking about the seed and it growing, tiny seed. You don't see it growing at first, but it's quite important that the seed gets watered. And today is the day of Pentecost. Jesus likened water to the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that does the work. But I think we need to excuse the sort of pun here, or alliteration if you like. But it needs to be kneaded, and we need to be on our knees. So in other words, we need to have prayer. And just to say a little word of testimony, we live next door to a lovely couple who are Christians. And there's a man who lives down the road, and both him and his wife, their daughter committed suicide in the swimming pool just down the road from us a couple of years ago. And I think they've turned their back on God a bit, although they were involved in younger years. But he had cancer, and he started getting his house in order and everything because he thought, "Well, I've probably got a year." He's in his, 70, early 80s, die. Yeah. But anyway, I just prayed for him, and this other couple were praying for him. Spoke to him the other day. He went to his doctor. There's absolutely no trace of any cancer. And you just think, well, you know, thank you. And the point is that we've given him literature about the faith, you know. So who knows?
So you've planted that seed.
Well, yes, we hope so.
Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else? Oh.
Growth can be slow. I mean, a marrow takes 2 months to grow. An oak tree takes, what, 200 years? What would you rather be, a marrow or an oak tree? An oak tree is permanent. It's slow, but it's permanent. A marrow is a marrow.
And a marrow gets eaten.
That's very true.
Thank you, folks.
Yeah, there's a little phrase about it. If you want to grow a mushroom, it takes one night. If you want to grow an oak tree, it takes about 100 years. And the things that matter take time, don't they? And never forget that, especially when you're praying for people and in relationship with them and you see no change and no movement. And that's a common situation, that there's absolutely no change whatsoever in people for years and years and years. In fact, sometimes they go the other way. They start to get a little bit more hostile or resistant. And often that's a defense kicking in because they know something's going on. They know, hang on a minute, this is serious. And weirdly, if you're experiencing someone who's getting more defensive, it's probably because something's happening. Something good is happening. That sounds ironic and weird and counterintuitive, but that's the way it tends to work. So yeah, but it does take time. I love the idea of it being small. Most of us think, if I'm going to reach my friends, I've got to be, you know, like Paul, St. Paul, and be an apologetic genius and be able to pronounce all sorts of answers to all sorts of massive existential questions. I've got to do all of that stuff. And you don't. You just don't. You know what? If you show a little bit of consideration to people who have got something going on in their life and nobody else around them notices, they're all too busy, but you notice and you say something or drop them a card or a text or whatever it is, it's a small thing, but it makes a huge amount of difference to people. Small things, that's part of the message, isn't it? Little things that you do can have a massive difference in terms of people opening up towards Jesus and getting to know him themselves. Little things make a difference. I also love the idea about the yeast. Yeast actually transforms things. It transforms something that you would not eat in 100 years. I mean, you pour a load of water into a pile of flour, add a bit of salt, squidge it around, and eat it. Not nice. You add a bit of yeast in there and then throw it in the oven, and it transforms it into something satisfying. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to transform our world into something that is satisfying for people, not something that leaves them hollow and shallow and empty, as so many of our answers do.
Well, what I was thinking last weekend, a lot of people say when they share, or when we talk about sowing, I think it's a good analogy, because everyone says, well, it doesn't make any difference. I've said something, it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
Try sowing some veg seeds, like I did last week, you put them down and nothing happens anyway. So the thing is, so often we worry about the fact we're not getting a response. But that's the analogy, isn't it?
The
harvest when you get the response.
It's right. I think you've got to expect, because you live in an instant culture, don't you? You live in a culture where if you want a coffee, you walk in and your coffee's there. And so is your McDonald's, which I miss dearly since my wife's put me on a diet. But, no, she hasn't. This is a self-imposed torture. But, you know, everything is instant. And we've got a whole generation of young people growing up who believe everything is instant. Instant gratification. You want it? Netflix, watch the whole series, one evening. Thank you very much. You don't have to wait a week. I had to wait a week every week for the next episode when there was a cliffhanger. Batman, stuff like that. Terrible. Showing my age. But you don't have to do that now. So we've lost that. And we have lost that idea that actually things that really matter take time. Takes time to grow them. And yeah, nature is a perfect example of that. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So don't give up. Don't think, oh, I didn't do any good, so I'm not going to do that again. You never know. In fact, there will be, I'm praying for everybody here. You go to heaven, you meet Jesus for the first time, you start worshipping as you do, because when you see Jesus, that's the only response you got. You worship him. But then someone will tap you on the shoulder, someone that you know, and you think, what are you doing here? You don't know. You don't know who you might meet in heaven because of something you say or a prayer you make. And if you believe in the Holy Spirit, you believe that he can do far more than you ever imagine. And he can do it through you. So I'd encourage you. I'm going to talk to you about work. We don't often talk about work in church. We often talk about church in church. But you know what? We need to start talking a little bit more about work. Because God's great resource is, ta-da, which you don't want to hear, quite frankly, do you? I mean, that sounds like a job, Phil. You know, more stuff to do. It isn't. It's just about being yourself where you are. We were talking you guys in your home group earlier on this week, and that was it. It's not another task to do. It's about being more authentically Christian where you are. That doesn't take extra effort. It just takes a little bit more courage. The great resource are us. Christians are intended to be a transformation agents in the world, just like yeast is. It changes things, and we're supposed to be that. And it's not a new idea. Here's the weird thing. In 1945, the Church of England published a report. It was called Towards the Conversion of England. How's that going? It was called Conversion of England. And the section on evangelism came to this conclusion. Listen to this. And it focused very specifically on something that we're talking about. It says, we are convinced that England will never be converted until the laity, that's anybody who's not got Rev in front of their name, that the laity use the opportunities for evangelism daily afforded by their various occupations, crafts and professions. That's a long-winded Anglican way of saying your job counts. Your job, what you do during the week, counts. Now, it might seem to have a very narrow focus on work, and it does. And we also need to recognise the impact we have in communities and neighbourhoods and clubs and schools and shops and where we live and move if we don't particularly have a full-time or even a part-time job. But it does state, however, that the church has not addressed the work issue and has completely sacred secular divided it. They've just divided it off as not spiritual. And that's our problem. Here's some of the key points from the 1945 report. Here's what it said. It seems crazy, doesn't it? We're talking about something that happened in 1945, but we just haven't got it right yet. The key force for mission is not the pastor. Really? Isn't the pastor supposed to get people in? Isn't the pastor supposed to save people? Well, I can't save anybody. Only Jesus can do that. And the Halifax. But other than that, it's not just... And what sort of model is that? Have you ever imagined an organisation where one person is expected to do it and everybody else watches? That's a crazy system. That's a crazy system. One simple reason why the key force for mission is not the pastor. There are 4.5 million people who go to church at least once a month in the UK. 4.5. There are 37,000 ordained ministers. Which is the most potent force, do you think? And which one has more contact with the real world? I am well out of touch. I have to go to the pub if I want to find the real world, because otherwise I meet with you lot. And you're not the real world. You're the church. You're the new kingdom. But if I want to meet the other kingdom, I have to deliberately find ways of doing that, because I spend a lot of my time working for the Church of Jesus Christ. So who has more contact? Who finds it easier? Who has natural relationships out there? The basis for evangelism is relational, it also says, and that's important. You have relationships. Research says that the relationships are critical in coming to faith. the 4.5 million who attend church once a month are probably connected, estimates are, to about 90% of the population of the UK. 90% of the population of the UK is covered, is in contact with the church, because it's in contact with us, you. Wow. And people point to Alpha and a message or a service as a key moment in their life, but let me tell you something, they never get to Alpha, they never get to hear the message unless they meet you first. And they know and see what a difference Jesus makes in your life. That's why they come to Alpha or listen to a message. It says the workplace remains the place where Christians have the highest number of ongoing relationships. That's true. That is true. The workplace is where Christians are more credible, because you can't hide if you're in work, can you? People see how you react when the boss gets stressy, how you react when internal politics kicks off at work. They see how you react when somebody at work has a problem. They see whether you're helpful or not. They see you. And you can have incredible credibility and integrity with people. You can be different. You can be different. Rather than just getting on with your bit, you can start caring about what's going on around you. It makes a massive difference. And it's a way where we can become more credible as Christians. People can see us operating in ordinary life. The workplace is also where Christians are more transparent. People can see the difference Jesus makes. How you handle stress. How you handle office gossip, of which there is much, I remember. Accepting responsibility for failure when you get it wrong. I remember working in the bank and people would find all sorts of excuses for it. It wasn't me. What happens if a Christian says, you know what? Yeah, that's me. That will stand out a mile. Honesty, integrity. It's amazing what a difference you can make and an impact you can make by simply being a disciple where you are and following Jesus' values where you are. Really important. So that was what they said. The importance for work in mission has actually increased. But their key point is this, to recognise the potential of every Christian to make a difference of where they are and where they spend most of their time. We need to resist idolising missionaries and paid pastors. Don't idolise them. You need to stop doing that. Put them on a pedestal. This just downplays everybody else who is in more contact and can have more impact than I ever could. In fact, when they find out I'm a rev, they usually, and behave very oddly towards me. Some don't, some do. But, you know, I've always got one hand tied behind my back in terms of evangelism. I can do things in here and with you, and I was down the pub on Friday mixing, and that was great fun, and I do my bit, because I'm a disciple too, and I need to be a disciple first and a pastor second. Because if I'm not a disciple first, I can't be a pastor. So that's what I need to be. So I do my bit. But you guys have so much more opportunity than I do. You really do. The church is in touch with 90% of the UK. The reality is that day in and day out, ordinary Christians are doing extraordinary things in their workplace and in their neighbourhoods and can make a massive difference. You are full-time Christian workers. That's what you are. In the same way that I am, you just don't get paid for it, which is a bit annoying. But it doesn't make any difference. You are still full-time Christian workers if you live as a disciple out there and rub shoulders with ordinary people. You are a full-time Christian worker. And we need to get that into our heads. And realise how powerful that will be if we take that seriously. If we love people like Jesus did and mix with them like he did. And treat them like he did. In such a non-judgmental, compassionate, God loves the whole world that he gave his only son type of way. We can make a real difference. You just need the confidence to believe that you can do that. And that even the small things, the mustard seed things, the yeasty things, can make a massive impact in people's lives around you. And just look out for opportunities to use those. Cool. We're going to do a little interview because we're talking about work and stuff and what people do when they're not in here. And recognising that really does matter. So Debbie's going to have a little interview. So off you go. Do you want this back?
When Phil asked me if I'd do this today, I was trying to think about a member of the congregation who maybe we don't know very much about. And the lady I'm going to invite is Laura to come up and tell us about her kind of week. There's something I want to say about Laura, because this goes back a long time for me. I was just thinking about this. I used to, when Cliff and I first of all came to Godston, we joined the FATE committee, and we were very busy. And we always had to go round and sell raffle tickets. My least favourite thing to do. Absolutely least favourite thing. And every year, I used to knock on Laura's door, and this was before I came to the church, and Laura always used to say to me, I won't buy raffle tickets, but here you are. And she always used to give a donation, I think of £5 or £10. It was always very generous. And I used to think, well, that lady's so, she's so kind, she's very sweet. I wonder if it's something to do with her religion that she doesn't feel she wants to buy a raffle ticket, she doesn't want to gamble. So I don't think I ever asked Laura at all for a very long time as to why. I think until she came here, why she didn't buy a raffle ticket. I did wonder if she was a Jehovah's Witness, like my mother. So I was thinking, do I have that conversation? But true to her word, she was that really sweet, kind lady that I thought she was. So when I asked her today if she'd do this, she kind of said, oh, I don't like that sort of thing. And we started having a conversation, and it was quite clear that during Laura's week, as a Christian, how she does communicate with people without actually realizing herself how she does that. So we want to ask you, how do you, like this time tomorrow, what will you be doing this time tomorrow, Laura?
Can I just say first, unless God was standing here beside me, I would not be. Sorry, what was the question?
Doing this time tomorrow, what I should be at work tomorrow. And what is your role at work?
I'm a dental nurse, and I work at the dental practice on the Green, which has obviously a very nice outlook.
So lots of people in the village obviously know you, yes. See you there regularly. I see mm-hmm. you most mornings walking on over to work. So in your work role, how would you say being a Christian affects those people around you?
Firstly, over the last year it's changed a bit because I've worked there for 19 years and the boss I worked for retired. And we had two young dentists join us, which are not much older than my grandson, actually. So, you know, it's changed quite a bit over that time.
And would you say that your faith has made people think about their faith or about you and what your strong beliefs are? Is there any way that you feel?
Generally, sometimes there's difficult situations, you know, with treatments and things, and nobody else is a Christian as far as I'm aware, but they know I am and they know I go to church. And so if, you know, one of the surgeons says, oh, Laura, it could be difficult, you know, this, that and the other, I always say a prayer, and most of the time prayers are answered. But I haven't yet said to them, well, I've said a prayer and that's why things haven't gone quite the way you thought they were going to go.
Do you think you'd ever be able to say that? Do you think?
Well, hopefully I will have the courage at some point to say that, yeah, hopefully.
And I'm sure that they know that you being there, I'm sure that's a great comfort. They probably feel your comfort, they knowing that you're just
hope
there.
I hope so.
By the side of them, yes. Is there anything that you find having a faith, being a Christian, a challenge while at work?
It's actually speaking out is, you know, the most challenging thing, I think, for me.
So trying to actually maybe say something you disagree with that people might be saying, or actually telling them that you're a Christian?
Telling them that I'm a Christian, yes.
Yeah. But I'm sure they probably know.
Well, yes, yeah. Hopefully, anyway.
So thinking about the week ahead, we'd like to pray for you, Laura. Can you think of anything you would like us to pray for you, for your family, for your workplace in particular? Is there anything you would like us to pray for?
Well, I'm the only member of my family that's a Christian anyway. And so I'd really like prayer for my family and my work colleagues, and that I'm a good witness to all of them and anybody else I come in contact with.
Should we just pray for Laura this morning? Dear Lord, so often in our workplace and our everyday lives, we don't realise the impact that we actually make. Like that mustard seed or that yeast, how we work away very slowly and very quietly, as Laura surely does in her everyday work. Please bless Laura and be with her in her daily dealings with people, and show her that her kind manner and her sweet ways really do make a huge difference to those patients who come in and are very nervous and anxious maybe about their treatment. And help her colleagues to see that glow that's all around her, that's a very special gift from God that she has. And maybe give them the chance to speak to her and ask her more about you, Lord. So please be with Laura and her family. I know she wishes very much that her family would be attending with her here or somewhere else, and just be with them as well and bless them all. In your name, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Well done.
That was great. Well done, Laura. So it can make a massive difference. And it is about, I think Andy said the other week, it is about being yourself, being you. It's not about being weird. I know too many Christians who are. You know, if you start wearing rainbow-coloured braces, I'm off, quite frankly. You know, I'm not. You just need to be you. And just be the person God made you and enjoy your life with God out there in the real world. And some people will find that a struggle. And other people will actually be really encouraged that you can do that, that you can be authentic, and that you can show what a Christian looks like. So encourage you to do that. So that's what we're thinking about this week. God's great resource, God's 4.5 million who can contact 90% of the UK in a way that most pastors and revs can't. It's you. And on Pentecost, when we hear that God actually then gives you his help and his power to do what you never thought you could do. But it's not about big, grandiose things. It's about little mustard seed things. And they make a world of difference. How you handle stress, how you react to ordinary things where you are, that's different from everybody else, in a positive way, in a good way. So it's about those sort of things. We're going to finish and we're going to sing a song. It is a song about, Lord, you know what? I hear all this. I'm nervous about it. I'm not sure. And we do lack confidence, don't we? I think we all do. I do sometimes. But it's about, Lord, I want to be that. I want to be that sort of witness for you. I want to live my life with you in the real world, not just in church. And I want other people to be impacted by that. Not because it's a spiritual scalp, not because we can fill the seats, but because you love those people. They're people that you love. And you want them to know the person you've come to know. No other reason than that. Okay. Shall we stand? And let's sing this as a bit of an aspiration. If you're struggling with it and say, Lord, I'm not sure I can say these words, say, Lord, make these true in my life. This is my prayer that you will do this for me. Thank you. God bless you as you go, and as you are yeast, as you are that mustard seed, as you do ordinary things as an ordinary human being, but as God's person, and make a difference where you are. And believe that God will use that, and that he, by his power, can use anything. He can use me and you. Malcolm was supposed to be presenting this morning, but as you know, Malcolm's not here. Debbie, do you just want to mention that?
I just sing that song and thinking, I will hold you in my heart. Just like us to pray for Malcolm, please, and for Pat. I went to see Pat on Friday, and the graciousness that's coming from that lady is really quite amazing, absolutely amazing. And she said, I'm not frightened of dying, I'm just frightened at what will happen before. You know, she's kind of dreading that awful part of dying. And we prayed, and it was raining, and the birds were singing. And I said, just listen, there's God's work going on out there. And just try to hold those lovely sounds in your head and try to think about the rain and how it's watering our earth and doing it good, and those beautiful birds singing and how they're reproducing, and it's all from God's creation. So, dear Lord, please hold Malcolm and Pat in your hands. Mm-hmm. Please care for them, love them as you always do, put your arms around them. Lead Malcolm, give him the strength to do that caring that is such a difficult, difficult role. And help Pat in her times of stress, especially in the middle of the night when she wakes, when she's breathless, when she's frightened, when she's not sure what's going to happen next. Just reassure her, Lord. Place your hand on her and let her know that you are with her every step of this journey. And let her know that she will be somewhere much better at the end of that journey, Lord. Mm. Amen.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Bless you, folks. God bless you as you walk with God this week.